So we begin Be'ezer Hashem on Zayin Amud Beis, the second line in. We were discussing machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, is the concept of tumah, which is allowed to be done when you're dealing with a korban of tzibur, and it has a set time, and therefore you're allowed to bring it even if there's a problem of the korban being tumah, for instance. So Rav Nachman said tumah hutra b'tzibur, meaning it's an absolute heter. You have to do little to try to avoid it once such a thing happens. And Rav Sheshe says, Tumas dechuya betzibur, meaning that in the event you can't have anything else, you have no other possibilities, then indeed you can go ahead with a carbon that's tumay. But if there's a way around it, what we have to first try to do is avoid bringing the carbon betumah. And Adi Gemara says, Tanoihi, really this in fact is machlekes between earlier shittas, and that is machlekes tanoim. The sani we learned in a brisa, tzitz, the tzitz that the kohen gadol wears on his forehead, bein sheyeshnei al metzchay, bein sheinei al metzchay, meratza. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that the tzitz, which we know is meratza, which means that it comes to be as a cushion, as a appeasement, as it were, for the fact that a carbon is tameh. So that, Reb Shimon says, is an appeasement whether the Kohen Gadol is actually wearing it on his metzach, on his forehead, or even is not wearing it on his forehead. Now, where would it be? So we'll see in the Gemara later that it could be he's just at that moment he's not wearing it, or maybe the day calls for it not being worn, and it's just on, as the Gemara is going to say, it's hanging on a peg. And still Reb Shimon says the kedusha of the tzitz itself could still be meratzah, could still appease and allow the carbon, which is tameh, to go through. Rabbi Yehuda,
even
if it's not being worn. Yes, and he's going to prove it. He's going to prove it from a pasuk that the tzitz has this kayach, being that it was already one of the begodim, one of the big day kahuna. It's one of the articles of clothing that the kohen gadol wears. Therefore, it's already invested with a certain amount of kedusha. It has that ability to sort of allow a karma which is tummy through. We'll see. There is a case where even Rabbi Shimon will agree that it's not going to work. We'll see that. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Oideyu al metzchoi meratzeh. If the kohen gadol is wearing it, then it could be meratzeh. Then I understand it could appease. But ein oideyu al metzchoi, but if he's not wearing it, like we said before, it's just hanging on a peg, and for some reason he's not wearing it, then ein oideyu meratzeh, that's Rabbi Yehuda shita. Fine, that's a machlokes in terms of how powerful, if you will, is the tzitz. Now we continue the conversation. Amalei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, I will prove to you that even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz on his forehead, it could still be meratzah. What's my proof? Kohen Gadol be Yom HaKippurim Yechiyach. A Kohen Gadol on every Yom HaKippurim Yechiyach. That proves my point. Why? She'ein oideyu al metzchoi u'meratzah. On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol does not wear the tzitz. Why? Because he doesn't wear what we call the Shmoyne Begadim. He doesn't wear the Big Day Zahav, but rather he only wears Big Day Lavan. And the reason is that, why? Because Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar. Something which represents the Egel Azav, which is a sin that goes for all Dairis, the Kohen Gadol can't wear those Big Day Zahav. He can't wear the priestly vestments, which have gold on them, because he's asking for atonement. Hashem, please forgive the Jewish people. And meanwhile, Hashem says, oh, you're reminding me about the golden calf. You're reminding about the Egel Azov. So therefore, we only raise Big Day Lovin. So that means on Yom HaKippurim, Zayin Amud Beis. That means on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. If he's not wearing the tzitz, obviously there's appeasement on Yom HaKippurim as well. For example, if a carbon would become tamei on Yom HaKippurim, it indeed would still be meratzeh.
But how does that tie back to the tzitz necessarily? When he said that there's appeasement, just because out of the argument based that it's coming from the tzitz, maybe it's coming from somewhere.
Oh, very good, very good. So Tosfos asks a similar question. The bottom taste is Mechal Reb Shimon. It's going on the Gemara, coming up in two lines. But Taisvah says like this. It must be we're talking about, I'll tell you what he asks. He asks, if you hold in the end of the day, tuma dechuya hi betzibur, meaning if you don't have a choice, we're going to allow it to go through, right? The carbon is tummy. Do we allow it? Well, if you don't have a choice, we allow it to go through. It's a carbon tzibur. Yom HaKippurim is a carbon tzibur, right? And it's zmane kavu, it's a set time. So even Rab Shimon would agree that carbon, that tuma dechuya betzibur, you should allow it to go through. So Tosfos says the proof that Rab Shimon is bringing is that even if you have a choice to switch to a non-tumah carbon, you're still allowed to go with the tumah carbon. It means you don't have to go get another one. How could that be? That's only because the tzitz backs you up. And as the tzitz is a cushion and allows you, the fact that it's tumah, it's okay, we have the tzitz to protect, go ahead with the carbon that's tumah. From there he brings a proof that you see that tzitz could work. Now, that could work even in Yom HaKippurim. But he's not wearing the tzitz on Yom HaKippurim. Must be, says Reb Shimon, that the tzitz could work as a ritzui, as an appeasement, and allow a carbon to go through, whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing it or not wearing it. And Rabbi Yehuda says, only if he's wearing it. So Rabbi Shimon, let's just repeat the kasha. Rabbi Shimon said, Kohen Gadol b'yom HaKippurim on yechiyach, she'ein oideu ametzcha, it's now on his forehead, umaratzeh. Now, what did Rabbi Yehuda say to the... Yeah.
You're talking about the korban, the sa'ir chatat, shel tzibur, sa'ir lazazel, one sa'ir chatat.
That's one of the korbans, the whole day of korban is Yom HaKippurim. Any korban will become tamei.
How many korban they have decided to...
There's a lot. There's the parshal tzibur, and then the parshal Kohen Gadol himself, then the sa'ir shel tzibur, and the sa'ir shel Kohen Gadol.
Anyone could be tamid, you don't.
And then there's the regular karbanis of the day, the tamid shall shachar, tamid shall ben abayim.
So you don't exchange it with.
So in Yom HaKippurim, also, if it becomes tamid like any other time, you'll allow it to go through.
I thought if it becomes tamid, they found the moon.
So you switch it, yeah? So that's what we're saying now here. If you hold Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, like Rabbi Hud is going to hold, therefore any carbon tzibur, means if it's brought on behalf of the tzibur and it's a set time to bring, if it comes Tumah, don't say anything, just let it go through.
Even in Lamech, because
Tumah Hutra B'tzibur.
That's the rule.
If it's a carbon tzibur, and it's a set time.
On Shvasar, Thomas was the Rome, somebody tried to test the Jews. So it was a korban tahor, but they make it mum on that, and they said,
oh, not yet. Oh, that's a different case, yeah.
They said to the Caesar, you see, they don't
know. No, not a mum, that's a mum.
Yeah.
No, we're not talking about a mum. We're talking about it became tamei. How did it become tummy? A sheretz came and touched it. A dead insect came and touched it. Yeah, yeah. Or the kohen who was doing it became tummy.
And touched it.
Yeah, we learned before. It's a special din. V'nosa Aaron is havein hakadoshim, that the Aaron wearing the tzitz could bear the sin. He could take care of the sin. What is it talking about? It's talking about the tumah. Carbon that becomes tummy.
So no, right. So if it moves, they definitely have to replace it.
Yes.
If something happens.
Correct. You can't bring an animal that's not fit to bring as a carbon.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara says, so what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Omal Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, don't bring me a proof from Yom HaKippurim. Why? Hanak leKohen Gadol b'Yom HaKippurim. Leave aside that case of a Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. Shetumo hutra leBitzibur. That's because it's for the tzibur and it's a set time. And any time a carbon is tameh, when it's a tzibur and set time, you're allowed to go through. It's not the tzitz that's putting you through. It's the fact that the rule is tumo hutra b'tzibur. By tumo tzibur karbanis, you always push it through. So if that's Rabbi Yehuda holds, says the Gemara Mechalal, we can infer from that that Rabbi Shimon Savar tumo dechuyehi b'tzibur. Must be Rabbi Shimon is the other opinion, that is only dechuyehi. Again, what does dechuyehi b'tzibur means? That means if you can get another way around it, if you have another way around it, you can find easily another carbon, you find another kohen to do it, you get them first. If you can't, you have no other choice, he also agrees, you allow the carbon to go through, even though it's tummy. So this is, now we do, what we just brought is, we have a machlekes really tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, for this concept of tumah hutra b'tzibur or dechuyehi b'tzibur. Now the Gemara is going to go back to this. This we're going to discuss this machlokes itself concerning the tzitz. Again, the tzitz, which we said could be the most, the holiest of the big day kahuna, which the Kohen Gadol wears on his forehead. It says Kodesh Lashem, and it's tied in the back, and it's tied on top.
But Lashem full name. You'd
have a problem,
no?
Yeah, but it's a whole question in the Maran Sukkah, how it's written.
Four.
One line or two lines, yeah.
That's the reason it's the holy of the...
Correct. It's your Yud Kei Vavke, huh?
It doesn't wear that on Yom Kippur?
On Yom Kippur it doesn't wear it, yeah.
You don't understand?
Because that's...
Because it changed a few times.
Huh? When he goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, yeah, he changes 10 times. But there's times during Yom Kippur in which he doesn't wear the big day Zahav, we call, only his big day Lavan. And they were like, when Rashi explains, when he goes inside the Pnimim, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
He doesn't wear the...
Right. Rashi says, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't wear the big day Zahav. For other things, he does wear it. Yeah. And that was Rav Shimon's proof, that there are times on Yom Kippur when he's not wearing the tzitz. So now the Gemara is going to discuss this machlokes with the tzitz, and we're going to get into a very interesting discussion concerning tefillin. So even though no one here wears a tzitz on their head, number one, because no one here is a kohen, all right? But even if you are a kohen, and if you are a kohen gadol, but it's more applicable to tefillin, which we all wear. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, "Benishbar hatzitz the kuliyamalei pligid lemeratze." If the tzitz would actually break, then everybody agrees that that's not going to be meratze. It's not going to appease and allow you to bring a carbon which is tamei. Ki pligi, when are they arguing? When does Reb Shimon say it still could be meratze even if you're not wearing it? And Reb Shimon Yehuda says not. The tali b'sichsa, it's hanging on a peg, meaning the kohen gadol is not wearing it currently, and he puts it on a peg, and now there's a carbon which is being brought by the tzibur, and one day during the year, and it becomes tamei. For that, the tzitz could be meratze. Now, Rabbi Yashiv has an interesting Ha'ara. It's brought in the Sefer Ha'aris. You see, the Gemara we're going to get to says that actually we have a Pasuk that teaches us that if the tzitz broke, how did it break? Maybe it ripped. Yeah, but maybe it ripped. Maybe the strings ripped. Means it's not usable anymore. Now, if it's not usable anymore, says Rabbi Yashiv, I need a Pasuk to tell me that that doesn't work. That's not Meratzeh. It's a broken tzitz. It doesn't work anymore. Now, maybe you say, you know, Shivrei Luchais are Munachim Ba'arayim, maybe they have the same status. But Rabbi Yash says, I shouldn't have to have a pusik to tell me that the tzitz is, that's broken. So he says an interesting Kiddush. He says, you know what we're talking about here? The tzitz broke. What do you do if the tzitz breaks? You make a new tzitz. So they already made a new tzitz. And they have this new tzitz which the Kohen Gadol is going to wear. The only thing is, the Kohen Gadol did not yet wear it. In other words, they made it, they finished it, and we the way that it worked was there's two ways that you could be mekadesh one of the clothing, articles of clothing in the Beis HaMikdash. One is you anoint it with Shemen HaMishcha, and the other one is by using it. By being mishamish with, by using it, that's mekadeshos, and that sanctifies it. So the pshat here in the Gemara is, says Rabbi Yashiv, is the tzitz, the old one broke. And the new one, which is ready to be used, yet was not yet used, so it was really not sanctified. In that case, says Abaya, that I need a pasuk to tell me, everyone agrees in that case, the tzitz will not be meratzeh. Because you hadn't yet sanctified it, you haven't inaugurated it, so it won't work. And for that, I would have thought, well, maybe it's a usable tzitz, it just hasn't been initiated into Avodah, kamashmalan, it can't work. Says the Gemara like this, if it's hanging on a peg, could it be meratzeh or not? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the Pasuk says, al metzach v'nosa. The bottom Rashi says out the whole Pasuk. V'hoya al metzach aharein, it will be on the forehead of aharein, v'nosa aharein esavein ekadoshim. Says Rabbi Yehuda that when it's on his forehead, when it's on his metzach, then you can have the tzitz meratzeh. Then Aaron can bear the sins of a korban being tameh. But if it's not on his forehead, it can't. Rabbi Shimon says, I have a different limud. Because the pasuk says, Tomid l'rotzein l'fnei Hashem, the pasuk says over there. Tomid l'rotzein l'fnei Hashem, it will always be a rotzein l'fnei Hashem. That means my tomid. What does it mean, tomid? What do you mean it would always be Omeratze? Ilema tamid al metzchay, that it always has to be on his forehead. That's what the Pasuk is telling me. It always has to be worn by the Kohen Gadol. Mimishkachestay. Do you find that to be the fact? Does the Kohen Gadol have to wear the tzitz at every second? Can't be. Miloy boy mea lebeis hakise. Does the Kohen never have to go to the beis hakise? Right?
When we have tefillin also.
Huh? And when you wear tefillin, you have to take it off before you go into the Beis HaKiseh. So the tzitz also, you have to take it off before you go into the Beis HaKiseh. Right? And doesn't the Kohen Gadol also have to go to sleep? He may have to rest during the day. He's going to take off the tzitz. So it cannot be, says Reb Shimon, that when it says in the Pasuk, Tamid, you have to always be with the tzitz, means you have to always wear it. That can't be. Elo must be Tamid Meratzehu. Must be, what it's telling me is that it will always be a meratze, it will always be something that could appease Kabbanu Shetami.
So that's Chidush, that the term, even if it's Tamid?
And the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, even if it's on a peg, and if carbon is Tamid, you're allowed to go through. Tamid L'Ratzeh and L'Vnei Hashem. That's Rabbi Shimon.
Don't get any time with Korban.
Correct.
So what Rabbi Yehuda do with this pasuk?
Ul Rabbi Yehuda nami haksiv tamid. Very good. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it also says tamid. So how do you understand tamid? Do you mean that tamid means you always have to wear it? That can't be. You also agree that the Kohen Gadol has times where he does not cannot wear it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, hahu tamid. That it says tamid in the pasuk, shelo yasiach daitoy mimenu, that he may not have any hesach hadas.
Very hard.
Hesach hadas. We're going to explain what that means. The literal translation: mental interruption. Loosely translated. We'll see it means much deeper than that. We'll explain what exactly that means. But the Rabbi Yehuda says, this pasuk teaches me, we'll see if this is a limud, which is the Raisa only the Rabbanon, but the pasuk teaches me, shaloi yasiach daiti mimenu, a person may never lose sight, it seems like. Always has to be mindful, the Kohen Gadol, of the
tzitz on his head.
The tzitz. And how do we know such a concept? Kid Rabba Bar Avuna. Dom Rabba Bar Avuna, Rabba Bar Avuna tells it as halacha. Chayiv Adam L'mashmesh B'tfilov B'chol Shah V'shah. A person must be Misham Mashmesh, meaning he always has to sort of feel and touch his tefillin B'chol Shah V'shah. Now, it doesn't mean literally every second you have to be touching your tefillin. The Magen Avraham explains that it means that every time a person remembers, he should say, oh, he should touch his tefillin. We have already a custom when you do it. Right? Some do a yoitza or a rechoyshech. Different places where people do touch it.
And Kadosh Kadosh we do touch.
Kadosh Kadosh also.
Come to during the Kat Yitzer, when you say Kadosh Kadosh,
also the tefillin. So one reason is to be cognizant that your tefillin is on. The other one is to make sure they're in the right place. But that's where you have to do it. Where do we know this halacha? That you always have to be cognizant and touch the tefillin. Kal v'chaymer mitzitz. We learn it out from the tzitz. Go to Chesam and Aleph. Uma tzitz shem b'yala azkara achas. The tzitz only has one shem Hashem. One time it says Yudke Bavgei, Kodesh Lashem. And yet, Amra Teir, the Tamid Teir says, Al Metzchay Tomid. It has to be on his forehead constantly. What do you mean constantly? We darshin, shali asiyach daiti mimenu. Tamid means it always has to be, constantly always has to be on his mind. Meaning, he always has to be aware of it. So tefillin, sheyesh ben azkarais harbe, tefillin that has many times the Shem Hashem, the Rambam tells us 21 times in the tefillin shel yad, 21 times in the tefillin shel rosh, Allah has kama v'kama, all the more so that there will be a halacha that you must be aware of your tefillin all the time. Okay? So what's stronger? The tzitz or the tefillin? The tefillin. The tzitz only has one time Hashem, Shem Hashem, and the
tefillin 21.
Yeah. So just to explain, what's this kal v'chomer mean? We're saying because you have to be aware of the Shem Hashem. So it's a subtle question that the Brisker Rav is quoted as have asked and explaining Prati in the Gemara, that what do you mean kal v'chomer? If you have to always be aware when you have a Shem Hashem, so just like I have to be aware by the tzitz, so to have to be aware by the tefillin. What's the kal v'chomer? I mean, is it the Shem Hashem demands my mindfulness, so it doesn't matter if there's one, or there's 21, or there's 101. I always have to be mindful. So but he explains like this. If the one Shem Hashem on the tzitz creates an obligation that I have to be aware of the tzitz, not of the Shem Hashem. I have to be aware of this article, the tzitz. So then 21 Shemos of Hashem, 21 times the name of Hashem mentioned in tefillin, must be that it gives the tefillin a certain status that I always have to be mindful of the tefillin that I'm wearing on my arm and on my head. That's the Kal Vachomer. Okay? Now, what is the halacha here that you cannot be Messiah Das from the tzitz, or you cannot be Messiah Das from tefillin?
It's very hard to be hard. All of a sudden thinking about the feeling full day. You can concentrate during the tefillah, but during the day when you do some job, it's hard to...
Very good question. David is asking a question which the Rishonim already asked. How could it be? You tell me I can never lose sight. I always have to be cognizant of the tefillin every moment. First of all, we know that in the times of the Gemara, they used to wear tefillin all day. That means when they went to work, they wore the tefillin, right? When they engaged in conversation, they wore the tefillin. Not only the for shacharis like we wear it. So how could it be that your person can never lose sight that he's wearing the tefillin, and meanwhile he's going about doing all of the things that he does in a day? That's one question that they ask. Okay? Another question that they ask, Rabbeinu Yoyin in Masechtas Brachos asked this, and the Rosh quotes him as well over there in Brachos, Simen Chof Ches. Another question that he asks is that the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that a person is allowed to sleep in his tefillin, at least shinas arai. You want to go to sleep for a little bit, not for a long time in one's bed, but a short nap, someone wants to sleep for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, he's allowed to sleep in with his tefillin. Now, if a person is sleeping, he obviously is not thinking about his tefillin. So says Rabbeinu Yehuda, how can you tell me I can never be Messiah Da'as from tefillin, never lose consciousness of the tefillin? I'm allowed to sleep in the tefillin. That's his kasha. Says Rabbeinu Yehuda, like this. What it means... What it means that you can never be Messiah Da'as means that a person can never act in a frivolous way. Schoik v'kalus rosh is the lashon he uses. A person can never act with an extent of levity. A person can never be in a very casual, light-headed mood when he's wearing tefillin. And as that sort of means you can never miss me after ask from tefillin. Says Rabbeinu Yehuda, you're allowed to go work, you're allowed to go about doing your tzrachim, you're allowed to go shopping, you're allowed to do fixing, you're allowed to engage in conversation. But if it ever gets to a point where a person is going to behave in a light-headed manner, that's asur. Shalei asiyach das from tefillin, because tefillin carries the name of Hashem in it, you can never act in a light-headed, frivolous manner. Schoik v'kalus resh. Therefore, he says, if a person is sleeping, he's not acting in a frivolous way, right? As a matter of fact, he's in a very calm state. He's sleeping, no problem with that. That's how Rabbeinu Yehuda learns, indeed, what it means you should not have, not be Messiah Tas and Tefillin. It means you can't act in a lightheaded behavior. However, the Ramban, as the Shagasai and Simon Lamates quotes, there's other opinions here, the Ramban and the Ritva, they say, no. Hesek Hadas means that you always have to be mindful of your tefillin. What's the proof the Ramban holds this? Because the Ramban says that an Avel, a mourner, may not wear tefillin. Why? Says the Ramban, because he's in a state of such distress and pain, he says he cannot wear tefillin.
You mean on the time between...
No. The Ramban says even a mourner during, let's say, the Shiva. Right? Because he's in a state of emotional stress and pain, so he says, therefore he cannot wear tefillin. Now, if you understand the reason why you're not wearing tefillin is you shouldn't be in a lightheaded behavior, the mourner is certainly not acting lightheadedness. Must be the Ramban is of the opinion that when it says, don't be Messiah Das from tefillin, what does that mean? You always have to be mindful and conscious of the tefillin. Now, even according to the Ramban, it doesn't mean that every second of the day you have to be thinking, tefillin, I'm wearing tefillin. No. But it means that it can't go a long lapse of time that you forget about your tefillin.
Why is somebody who's in Shiva any different than a regular person?
Because says the Ramban, since he is so emotionally consumed by his tragedy, you can't demand from such a person, it won't be possible for him to always be thinking, at least in the proper intervals, about his tefillin.
It's a
No, we don't pass it like this. We pass only the first day though.
No,
you know, but then what happens when if you have some kind of occupation that requires intense concentration or whatever, so therefore your mind's gonna waver away from the tefillin and, you know, intensely.
That's true. So it could very well be, according to the Ramban, that person would not be allowed to wear tefillin. Maybe it would be potter for wearing tefillin then. Correct? And as we have two approaches here, what does it mean you can't be Mesiyah Das? According to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh, it means you just can't act in a frivolous, lightheaded manner. That's why you're allowed to sleep. That's why you're allowed to do work in it. The Ramban, and it seems like the Ritva, and even maybe the Rambam, says the Shaykh Sa'i, are of the opinion that it means you always have to have in mind that you wear tefillin, and you have to be cognizant of the fact that wearing tefillin, and that will be, according to them, it makes sense why you have to constantly touch your tefillin. Why? Because every certain amount of time, it shouldn't be a lapse of time where you forget, so therefore you're constantly touching your tefillin. According to the other opinion, why do you have to touch your tefillin at all? Right? Yeah. According to Rabbi Yonah, just don't act in a frivolous manner. What are you touching your tefillin for?
To avoid, to be, have like a...
David, you're on the ball tonight. So the Shagasai really asked the question like this. He says, I don't understand. You're telling me the whole reason you can't be Mesiach Das from tefillin is why? Is because we learn it from the tzitz. Just like the tzitz, you always have to be aware, so to tefillin. Now, you're telling me that the tzitz, you can't act in a light-headed manner? Where do you wear the tzitz? In the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to act in a light-headed manner anyway. So he said, I don't understand Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion. So the teretz that's given is this. For being in the Beis HaMikdash, we would not have made you do certain things to prevent you as a precaution to not act in a light-headed behavior. But for the tefillin, that we're going to say in order that we make sure that you don't even come to that state of schoik v'kalas reish, we require you to constantly check your tefillin, touch your tefillin, therefore you'll never even come to such a state of being. Very good. That's the reason why you touch the tefillin. Yeah. And the Ritva explains, we said that the Gemara says in Sukkah you're allowed to sleep in tefillin. If you're sleeping, you're obviously not mindful of your tefillin. Says the Ritva Chiddush that the only time you're required to be cognizant and mindful of your tefillin is only when you're awake. And as when you're awake and you're in a state of being to remember your tefillin, then you always have to be mashmish b'chol shah, you always have to be aware of it. However, when you're sleeping, you're sort of your putter. At that point, you're not really being mekayim, the mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to.
So, according to them, if you do business and you negotiate with a person, how can you concentrate on the tefillin?
That's what I'm saying.
So, if it's something, an occupation or an endeavor that really would take away your mind, they would say you have to take it off. But you could assume in the days when they used to wear tefillin all day, they were always aware of it, right? I know somebody, there's another Gadol, wears tefillin all the time, and whenever you speak to him, whenever he's always touching his tefillin.
He's
always touching his tefillin, huh?
I don't mean in a bad way, but if you're a cloth.
You mean you're banging through the walls?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're always at risk.
True. So sometimes you can cover it up, you can wear something over the tefillin. Okay. Mm-hmm. But,
Okay, that's true.
So that's the machlokes. So does it mean again that you should not have schayk v'kalas reish in terms of doing something negative, or do you actually have to do something positive of thinking about the tefillin the whole time? So let's give a few nafkaminas. Let's give a few examples which may depend on how we learn the pshat here in the Gemara. Yeah. Number one. Let's say the Gemara the Mishtabur, really, it's a Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Simon Shin Aleph Sif Mem Beis in Shulchan Aruch. Now what happens is someone finds there's a bunch of Pirat Filin scattered in the field, or scattered on the road, and it's Shabbos, and they're laying there in disgrace, and you have to bring them in, but there's no air of who you are. It's out in the field, you want to bring them into the shelter, they shouldn't get ruined. So the halacha is, you put on as many pairs of tefillin that you could wear. and bring them inside, because since you're wearing them, it's not considered carrying, and you bring them in. Now, could you, do you say in that case, do you have a din that you cannot be Mesiach Das from those tefillin? The ones that you put on five pairs of tefillin, could you say that you're not wearing, not being Mesiach Das? So the Mishnah Berurah says, how are you allowed to wear this anyway on Shabbos? You're not allowed to put on tefillin. So he says, well, for Muktzah we take here because of Bezayin, we allow you to wear it. But he says, it's not a problem of Baal Taisif, because you're not really being Mekayim the Mitzvah. You're merely just...
It doesn't even make Bracha.
Wearing it. Yeah, that's right. You're not wearing... Yeah, but the Bracha wouldn't be Ma'akif to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Right. No, you'd be still Mekayim Mitzvah, you don't make a Bracha. But he's saying... Right. So he's saying, you're not really being Mekayim a Mitzvah over here. You're just putting it on in order to bring it in. Oh, so since you're not being Mekayim a Mitzvah, do we say you have to not be Mesiach Das over here? So we say it depends. If you say that... Let me see, Das means you're not allowed to act in a frivolous way when you're wearing tefillin. So it could be, even if you're not being Mekayim a Mitzvah, but still, because of the Kedusha of tefillin, the 21 times it says Hashem's name, it could be you still are obligated not to be Mesiach Das, and if it's a long trip to get to the back and forth to bring on all the prison, you have to keep being Mamashmish with tefillin to be tubbing. Make sure you don't act in a frivolous way. But if you say that it's the Kedusha of the tefillin that demands you to always be cognizant of it, could be that's only when you're being Mekayim the Mitzvah, that's when we required you to do that. Possibly. I'll give you another example. The Gemara in Zvachim says that the hair of the Kohen Gadol would be visible in between his tzitz, which went on the forehead, and his mitznefes, which went on top of his head. In between is his hair with the hairline, where the Gemara says that where he puts his... What does he put there?
On the tzitz?
No, above the tzitz. In between the tzitz and the mitznefes, what goes there? Tefillin. So the Gemara says that this place in between the tzitz on the forehead and the mitznefes, the hat on his head, which is the hairline for the tefillin. Yeah? Which sounds like from the Gemara that the Kohen Gadol wears both the tzitz and the tefillin at the same time. So asks the Shoyel Meishiv, he says, I have a question. The Ravad writes, and we're going all over Shas here, but we're just trying to bring out different opinions here, and how this fits into our Chakira. The Ravad writes in Hilchus Pora, dealing with the Pora Aduma, the Mechatos, that a person cannot deal with two Mechatos at one time. A Kohen, let's say, can't prepare the Mechatos, the water, to purify a person who is the Metame with a dead person. He can't prepare it two times. Why? Because he has to be mindful of both of them. And says the Ravad, you can't be mindful of two things at once. I mean, something that needs requires constant attention, no, you can't have two different...
How is possible? He takes the ashram of the parah.
Yeah, so he's pouring the mechatas.
The water and mix them together.
So he's mixing two different kalim, right? But then each of these kalim have to be guarded and have to be watched to make sure they don't become in contact with anything tameh. So the Ravid says a person can't do two at one time because he can't be mindful of both of them at the same time.
So what they do, each coin do something
different. Yeah, they have to have a separate coin doing it.
One do the ashram, one do the water.
No, one could do one thing, but he has to just that one. He can't do a second one. One, only one per customer, one per kohen.
The Torah doesn't mention this. He said,
who?
The Torah doesn't mention two kohen. He said, lakach kohen.
Yeah, because that's only talking about one of them. But the Rabbi is saying, what if you have multiple, you want to do many of them? So one kohen per thing.
Does this intersect with the people or not really? It's not really people.
No, because that's it's having in mind for later, doing something later. Yeah. Now, we have to finish up here. So, the Shaila Meish says, according to this Rivet, you can't really be cognizant of two things at once. So how could the Kohen Gadol, where the tzitz and tefillin, that means he has to be mindful of two things at once. And the Rivet says, you can't really do that. We wouldn't have asked such a question, but the Shaila Meish does. So here, listen to this. We could say as follows. If you say that the pshat in not being Mesiach Das on tefillin and the tzitz is like Rabbeinu Yoina, means just don't act in a frivolous way, so there's no problem doing it for both of them, right? You kill two birds with one stone. I won't act in a lightheaded manner when I'm wearing tefillin and the tzitz. Very good, I can't go to wear that. But if you say the other way, do you have to be mindful of both at all times, or at least most of the time when you're wearing them? So according to this Rivet, it would be a problem. So much so that Shaul Meisher says it could be that the Kohen Gadol, when he wore the tzitz, did not wear his tefillin. But we could say it depends on this chakir. Okay? Fine. Now let's go to one more thing, and that's as follows. Tosfos, look at the top Tosfos on Ches Amud Aleph. Tosfos asks the following question. You want to compare that tzitz only has one Shem Hashem, and therefore you have to be mindful of it. Can't be Mitziyat Das, certainly tefillin. Says Tosfos, Tamali. Lifrish, you could ask a question. Malit tzitz Shekein Hashem Hu Begolui. The tzitz, Hashem's name is on the outside. It's open. It's covered over with the leather. It's covered over within the box. The parshas of tefillin are within the box. They're not visible. So Tosfos seems to say that you can't compare the case of tzitz to the case of tefillin. Now, before we go to the teretz of Tosfos, the Sfas Emes and others ask on Tosfos, who cares? Who cares if it's open, it's covered?
Shem Hashem.
Right? It's Shem Hashem. In other words, if you're telling me you want to walk into a certain place, you want to walk into the bathroom, let's say, then I could hear maybe the fact that Hashem's name is open, that should be worse than if it's covered over. That I could hear, right? You're allowed to take something that has a double covering, you're allowed to bring it to the bathroom, even have Shem Hashem. It's filled in itself. If it's in its covering, in its bag, and in another bag, you're allowed to bring it to the bathroom, right? So if you tell me that's the reason, then I can hear a difference. But if you tell me something I have to be mindful of, what's the difference if the Shem Hashem is on the outside or on the inside? If I have to be mindful because of the Shem Hashem, it therefore gives Kedusha to this article, what's the difference? That's what the Sfas Emes asks, and he does not have a teretz. Now, this kasha, the Sfas Emes' kasha would only be if you're understanding that this is something where you have to have constant mindfulness of the tefillin or the tzitz. And that he's asking, what's the difference outside and the inside? I have to have constant mindfulness. But perhaps you could say that if the pshat is like Rabbi Yoina and the Rush, that you shouldn't be Mesiach Das means that you should not behave in a negative manner, you should not behave with lightheadedness, so then perhaps you could say that when it's on the outside and you're behaving in a frivolous manner, that's much more disgrace than if it's tefillin where the Shem Hashem is on the inside and you're behaving with Schoif Vekalas Resh. Perhaps that itself, maybe Tosfos holds like the first Shita. He holds like the Mahalach of the Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rosh, and therefore the Sfas Emes' question is not really a Kasha at all. What does Tosfos answer? Let's finish Tosfos. Tosfos says, Vein Lataris Dehachi Nami. This is a very interesting Tosfos. We learn how you say this from here. Vein Lataris, don't say Dehachi Nami Ksiv Shakai betfillin. Yeah. You have a shin on the side of the tefillin. Yeah. And we also make a dalid, a shin, and they also have a dalid and a yud, which you make with the knot of the tefillin. So you have representing the name Shakai. So that's on the outside, which is bekmatin. It's on the outside on the folds of the tefillin. He says, Chada de Einzek Sav Gomer. That's not really a real writing of Hashem's name, shin dalid yud. Why? The dafka shin shall tefillin alach l'meshim yisinai. Because first of all, the only thing that you need alach l'meshim yisinai is the shin. The fact that we make also a dalet in the back and also a yud that looks like a yud, that is not a lachal mishina. Well, dalet and yud loy. Meaning to say that that's not real ksav. It's not ksav gomer. What you see from Tosfos, that's one reason you're allowed to undo the knot of the tefillin. Really, there's an issa to be meichik shem Hashem. You're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. And yet we untie the dalet or the shin, or you make a shin on your hand, you untie it on your fingers. The teretz is Tosfos says, that's not ksav gomer. That's not really ksav, it's just representative as a simon, and that's all. V'oi, Tosfos says, b'tzitzik k'shem ha-miyuchad ben dalet oisi ois, v'chomer tvei, this is only shakai, and but b'tzitz you have yud kei, vav kei. V'nirli, so Tosfos says, d'enei kal v'chai megomer d'oraisa el medrabanon. This whole din, says Tosfos, that you chayiv adon l'mashmash b'tfilin mechomer, you always have to be touching your tefillin and be aware of your tefillin, is only a din derabbanan, not midiraisa. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Perek Dalet Alochi Yudal is mashman, it isn't in Dairaisa, but that's what Tosfos says. V'hachi Kamar, this is what we're saying. Nehi Nami Deka Churma Tvei B'Tzitz. You're right. Really, the Tzitz is much more stringent because it has the Shem Hashem and it's on the outside. Mikol Makom Kima Deka B'Tefillin Tzad Chashivu Zeh There is one advantage that the tefillin have, sheyesh ben haskaras harbe, because they do have multiple times that Hashem's name is 21 times. So svarahu, the chacham said, shemin adin yesh lacham l'sak and l'mash ben kol shah. That's what Taisa says. And as we're just comparing, since tzitz, it has to have the no hesek hadas because the one time Hashem is Hashem's name. So too, the chachamim should have been mesakein to do that by tefillin also, because it has it multiple times, the Shem Hashem. And indeed, that's the pshat that Taisa says. It's only a din derabbanan that you're obligated to touch your tefillin at all times. Okay, the Rasha has a nice pshat that the tzitz represents keser kehuna, and the tefillin represents keser teira. And therefore, that's the mila that tefillin have over the tzitz. But that's what Taisa didn't learn that way. Taisa says, indeed, that yeah. Well, we'll have to leave. We'll have to stop here. We'll leave with one kasha, which we'll get to Mirtz Hashem next time. And that is, if we, there is a din, either Dairaisa, like it seems like from the Rambam, or at least the Rabbanon, like it says from Tosfos, that you have to be memashmish b'chol shah with your tefillin. Was there also a din to be memashmish b'chol shah in the tzitz? So that is very interesting. We'll have to see that next time.